Amen. Please be turning, if you would, this morning in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. The theme of Mark's Gospel is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It emphasizes how, in dealing with how his life was filled with ministry, you see how busy he was. And in chapter 4, it's no different. If you found your place there, stand with me. We'll begin reading in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I'm thankful that we have a church that still emphasizes the Word of God. In verse 35, we read this. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly, said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We bow before you once again, our Savior, our God, our Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage of Scripture and the message that it conveys to us. I'd ask you, Father, to arrest all of our attention. Focus us upon you and what you would say to us today. Please, Lord, we don't need to hear from some preacher. We need to hear from you. So please give understanding, give illumination. Loosen a stammering tongue to be able to communicate this grand passage of Scripture. And Lord, again, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, there be even one within these walls today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They do not have that confidence of where they will spend eternity. I pray that even this morning they might see Jesus in all His glory and all His honor, in His mercy and in His grace, and certainly through His love for us. In laying down his life that we could be forgiven, saved, delivered from our sin, and have everlasting life. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Of course, may be seated. There are times in our lives that God brings things along that seem very difficult, can be difficult, and just as disruptive as we see this very great storm in our passage. In this event, we see the wind and the rain and the storm, and it's blowing upon this ship. And sometimes the storms in life, and physical storms I'm speaking of now, can make it nearly impossible to see anything. When Marcia and I left Georgia last, I guess it was Wednesday morning. Days have kind of run together this week. But Wednesday morning it was raining. And at times, you know, it would lighten up and it wouldn't be too bad. And at other times it would get pretty hard. It was raining pretty hard. Almost to that place where you'd think, maybe Marcia was thinking, that we should pull over and wait till the storm passed. But it can get so bad at times you can't hardly see. Even the landmarks that you're accustomed to could become indistinguishable. Those familiar points of reference that give us security, even when it's raining, in a sense, give us what? Peace. Peace cannot be seen. How important is it to be able to have peace in the storm? There can be stormy periods in our lives. It can be just as troublesome as some of the worst physical storms. A death in the family, some other tragedy can come along. And life comes with storms, does it not? Sometimes those storms can come in the form of change. Even change can be disconcerting. And change can be unsettling. And there's something about the unknown that is unsettling, intimidating for us. And I guess we could agree that even our church, Metropolitan Baptist, is going through a little bit of some unsettling times. And the change, we know change is there, and just how is all this going to work out? Well, I don't believe God wants us to be unsettled, intimidated in these days. Why? Because there's peace, even when there's change. There's peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, obviously. There's questions. Some have asked me even this morning, is there a candidate yet? Well, pulpit committee's working on that, so you need to be praying for them. Yes, there's sometimes more questions than answers, right? But we need not be afraid of tomorrow or what tomorrow holds. Dear ones, the truth is, if we're honest, none of us knows for sure what tomorrow holds. Amen. Huh? No. But those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior can look forward to the tomorrows with an anticipation, not anxiety. Anticipate what God's going to do. Even in the midst of the unsettling changes, it can be exciting just to see what God will do. Huh? I know. And I am confident that God is going to continue to do great and wonderful things for all of us. You're going to have peace. Why? Why can we have peace? Well, let's look at some reasons this morning in this passage for having peace, that we can have peace. Some important things for us to remember. Now, looking at this chapter, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ had another busy day of ministry. He's been teaching by the seaside. If you go all the way back to chapter 4 and verse 1, we read this. It says, "And he, Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine." And now again, the chapter 4, is these parables that he uses to teach them. And we're not going to look at all those, but we notice here that a great multitude had gathered together to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was necessary, as there was such a crowd, that he stepped into a nearby ship and sat down, and there he taught them. And it says that this great multitude was there on the seashore. And along with, it says there were some other ships nearby. Isn't that interesting? When we were in Israel some years ago, guess it was back in 2015 when we went with a group here from the church, and there There's a museum there by the Sea of Galilee, and they've got one of these ships in there that they literally found in the mud. I don't know, someone was digging around there, and they literally found this old framework of what they believe was a ship that quite probably existed in the first century. Well, they got that thing out of there, and they've got it up in this museum. And it's not no big ship. I mean, it's probably, I'm guesstimating, is that a word? It's probably not much more or longer than for me to Brother Randy over there. And the all that's left of it's the framework. And it's quite likely about the size of a ship that would have been a common fishing vessel there on the Sea of Galilee. Well, we want to see some things from this passage and being mindful then of the background. As it came to the end of the day, the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, let's go on to the other side. And he gets into he's in the ship already. The others join him and they make their way or begin their trip across the sea along with these other, it says, little ships. Well, let's see some things here that should give us confidence, give us peace, even when we face storms in life. Number one, remember this. Jesus is in the ship. Don't get any better than that. Jesus is in the ship, and we read that in verses 35. It says, the same day when the even was come, now it's the end of the day, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. They sent away the multitude. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now, could we come to the conclusion that the Lord Jesus Christ was the admiral of this little fleet of ships as it left the shore? I believe we could. Because in the end, what do we find out? That he was indeed the one who was in command. Right? He was indeed in control of everything that was taking place. Let me ask you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you do, Jesus is not only your companion in life, he is your captain. He is your captain as well. He's your fellow laborer, and he is your faithful leader. Amen. What impact does that have on you when you think of it? That he is with you and he will be the captain. He will be with you all along, faithful companion, but also your leader. Amen. If you're saved, that should give you great peace. That should give you peace and confidence. You know, I'm mindful of that. I love the story of Jericho. And remember how the children of Israel, they had come across the Jordan River on dry ground, and now Joshua is replaced Moses as the leader. And they're on the Jericho side now of the Jordan River. And you can picture that in your mind. Jericho sits up kind of on the rise, and there's a little bit of a slope down to the river. And so the children of Israel would have been encamped with this city above them, literally. And be mindful that the walls of Jericho and that city were considered to be impenetrable, that they were safe from any threat of any enemy. Well, God showed up. God showed up to assure Joshua, who indeed was the commander of God's people. Let me read for you from Joshua chapter 5, just a couple verses out of that chapter, verses 13 and 14. Listen to this. It came to pass. I like that. It came to pass. When God's in control, things will come to pass. says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man over against them with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or against us? And he said, this man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord I am now come. Joshua does the right thing. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord to his servant? What's happened here? The children of Israel are now entered the land of Canaan. Their first encounter is the city of Jericho, this mighty city. But God is pleased to show up. We have here what we believe was a pre-incarnate appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he makes it clear to Joshua, I'm not here to take sides, I'm here to take over. Huh? Aren't you? Lord, take over. The Lord himself showed up to take charge of the situation. Huh? And we know how that story came. Those walls weren't so impenetrable after all. Please remember who's in charge of your life. Jesus is in your ship if you're saved. But secondly, please remember this. As we understand, storms do arise in our lives. Storms come, do they not? Verse 37 says that, and there arose a great storm and wind. And the waves beat into the ships so that it was now full. Oh my. Situation's bad, isn't it? It's not good. The storm is crashing into the ship, and now the ship is full of water. Now, logic tells us what? Logic tells us that they're going down. The ship is about to sink. Well, storms come. Storms do come. Every one of us experience storms in our lives. And these storms, they can be seasonal. There's some times of the year. While we were gone, you all had nasty storms right here in the area. Our little old town of Bowie, where we used to live, had some homes destroyed, and west of there had a lot of damage. And storms come, but we do kind of expect that, don't we, this time of the year? There are storms that come into our lives, and some of them can be seasonal, but some of them are not. There are storms that come our way that we're not prepared for. But regardless, does not change our first point, does it? Jesus is in the ship. Jesus is in this ship. And some of life's storms arise out of change and on the road of our lives, which also should be expected to an extent. Shouldn't it? Shouldn't we expect that along the way of our life that things are going to change? And indeed, change can be good. I believe God brings change into our lives to grow us and strengthen us, to challenge us. Hey, he brings those changes along the way so that we can grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes God brings change or even challenges into our lives before we're saved to point us to Christ. And we might recognize that we do in need him. They can be challenging, but indeed they can also be beneficial. But thirdly, not only do we need to remember that Jesus is in our ship and that storms do arise in our lives, but we also need to remember that Jesus is in control. Don't forget that. He is in control. Look here at verses 38 and 39. The storm is arose. The ship is full of water. And in verse 38, it says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, back in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose. He rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Let me ask, I know this is a, in this group, it's maybe a rhetorical question, a facetious question, but is Jesus God? Is Jesus Christ God? Well, if you say yes, preacher, of course. Do you believe that he is Jesus Christ, is the creator and sustainer of this universe? John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things," speaking of Christ. Remember, in the beginning, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word," speaking of Jesus, "was God." Verse 3, he goes on to say, "All things were made by him." Well, what does that include? It says, "And without him was not anything made that was made." So if it's here, if it exists, God made it. And Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhood, was the instrument of creation. Are you sure about that? Well, another very important verse in our New Testament that speaks to this very point is found in Paul's letter to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says this, again speaking of Jesus, it says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible." Let me see, what would that include? Guess that includes everything. "Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him," and this is very important, "for him." By him and for him. Huh? Would that include us? Would that include you and I? Huh? He created us, and he created us for him. We are here. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. You're here to give God glory. Amen. Huh? Amen. We exist to give God glory. In this storm on the Sea of Galilee, doesn't seem to be bothering Jesus. Huh? Is it bothering him? Doesn't seem to be. He's asleep on a pillow in the back of the ship. Well, how could he sleep? How could he be asleep in this horrible storm? Because he's the creator. He's the creator, and the winds were at his beck and command. Now think about that. The winds were at his beck and command. He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship. If he's the creator of all things, he must have created this storm. He brought the storm. But why did he bring the storm? He's about to show something to his disciples that were going to make an amazing impact on them. No, it's not. Nothing's bothering. He's asleep because he's the creator. The winds are at his beck and command. The winds and the waves came into existence at his bidding. But know this. Jesus does care. He does care. What did the disciples say to him? "Master, carest thou not?" Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now this must have been a uniquely bad storm. Because remember who these are that are with him. Peter, James and John, Andrew. What were they? They were fishermen. They made their lives on that sea. They had lived on the Sea of Galilee all their lives. You think they'd seen storms before? Oh, surely they did. But this must have been a very unique storm indeed. But it seems like they forget themselves here a bit. And they ask a question. A question that I'm, in a sense, now they don't understand, but in a sense is an insult to the Creator. Wouldn't you say? It's an insult to the very character of God to ask Him if He cares. Of course He cares. Of course He cares. He's interested in the minutest details of our lives. Tell me something that happens in our lives that He's not aware of. What does God not know? Of course He cares, and He's interested in everything. Now, a much wiser Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would later on, years later, write this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, "They're casting all your care upon Him." Why, Peter? "For He careth for you." You think Peter might have learned something there on that Sea of Galilee? Sure he did. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. There he says, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful, be anxious, be troubled for nothing. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Don't allow your life to get full of anxiety and anxiousness. Who cares again? Our God cares. Our God cares. And rather than being anxious or fearful, we can have peace, confidence in giving those things to God. What's He say? "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is always true to His word. He loves us and He cares about and for us. Please remember, Jesus does care, and remembering that Jesus is Master. He's Master. They address the disciples there in the ship, they address Him as Master. They had given the leadership of their lives to the Lord Jesus. Now, the word Master in this case means teacher. They had acknowledged Him as their teacher. Now, isn't it? Now, you have to understand, in the culture of the time, a teacher was given reverence. They was given a place of reverence and authority. And so with them, it's kind of odd that they come to Him and the way they approach Him, it says they're rebuking Him, aren't they? "Don't you care? Carest thou not?" Well, we must not be too hard on the disciples. We do much the same. Whether in word or not, we do the same. I've been there many times. We wonder, just where are you, God? Now, we might not put it in words, but our hearts are thinking, where's God at in this? this midst of this battle, this struggle, whatever's going on in our life, we wonder, does God care about my problems? How absurd to call him master and in the same breath question what he's doing. Let it soak in. Isn't that right? Master, do you care? Dear ones, God is the captain of our ship. He is directing not only our lives, but he's also directing this church. Huh? We submit to the leadership and the direction, not of the pastor, yeah, but he serves as that under-shepherd of the great shepherd. But we bend the knee to King Jesus. Huh? And we trust him. We know that he is able to direct all the way through. He's the captain of our ship. And yes, the unknown does have the potential. I say the potential to trouble us. But this I do know. Jesus is in the ship. And Jesus is our master. Huh? Do we believe that?
Amen.
And he will do. He will do for Metropolitan Baptist Church. Well, how do you know? Because I know him. And I know he cares. I know he cares. Besides, we also know that Jesus is able. He's able. Verse 39, we read this. It says, and he, Jesus, arose and he rebuked the wind. The word rebuked there means he commanded the wind. Isn't that interesting? He commanded, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was great calm. I wanted to know what that word calm meant. It is the meaning of tranquil. Tranquil. I don't know if Bruce and Provy and Marcia remember, but the day that we went out on one of those boats on the Sea of Galilee, they take you out on the sea there, and it was early in the morning, and there was kind of a mist in the air, and the sea, I mean, the sea that morning was as smooth as the top of that boat, just like glass. Now that little ship motoring out. And when I looked up that word, tranquil, it was what that morning was like. Huh? Just peace. Peace. Great calm. Beloved, not just this storm, but the storms are under his control. He can, Jesus can, command the wind and the waves. And he brings the calm. How many times have you been in the midst of one of those times of struggle? One of those times of anxiety when there's something, this storm. And you go to the Lord in prayer. You're seeking God. And as you pray, what do you sense? A calm. God the Holy Spirit enters in. And he'll communicate his presence. And give that calm. It's interesting. I like this. Those words where it says, peace be still, is the words Jesus spoke to the storm. They mean this. Those words mean be silent. Be still. Jesus said, be quiet, be still. Strong's dictionary says that he uses the word be muzzled. I like that. Be muzzled. Huh? Isn't it great? Jesus tells this storm as it's raging and it's crashing down upon the ship and those that are in it, muzzle it. Shut up. And what happens? It's quiet. think of it. Let this sink in. If Jesus is able to take care of this raging storm that created fear in the hearts of these seasoned fishermen, don't you think he can handle your storms? My storms? Sometimes we're so silly. Don't you believe that he's also able to take care of Metropolitan Baptist Church? He's taken care of this church for 99 years. Yeah. Still here. Still preaching the Word of God. Last point. Remember, have faith, not fear. Jesus is in our ship. Jesus is in control. Jesus is able, even when there's storms. What's verse 40 say? He said to them, he says to those in the ship, the disciples, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It's interesting that that word translated fearful is only found three times in our New Testament. And it has the idea of being cowardly. I was a little astounded by that. It has the idea of being cowardly or timid. It's interesting, isn't it? This fear here, the Lord Jesus Christ ties it together with what? An absence of faith. Yeah. Do we get that? This fear is an indication that faith in Christ is missing. Isn't that interesting? A faith that makes us cower. A faith that would make us fear in this sense of cowardliness is a fear that is absent of faith. Because where there's faith, we need have no fear. Now, this fear, as we've already said, is an indication that that faith is missing. Now remember, take heart here. Remember, these men were disciples of Jesus when you struggle with these things. But this takes place rather early in their time with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in chapter 4. Chapter 3 is when he had set apart the 12. So this is at the beginning of their discipleship with their Lord Jesus Christ. And it's indication that they still had a faith problem. They still had a lot to learn about this matter of faith. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, verse 5. Now get this. It just goes right with what we see here. An answer, really, of what we see here. There, God says through the prophet, fear not, for I am with thee. Jesus was where? He's in the ship with the disciples. What was his question of them? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And how is it? Why is it that you have no faith? Fear not, for I am with you. Now get this as well. The prophet Joel has a great word for God's people. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 21, it says this. He writes, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Do you believe God will do great things? I believe God is in the business of doing great things. Joel, through the Holy Spirit, tells us, don't fear. Our God does great things. Why is it that we don't have to fear the future? Why is it that we do not have to fear the unknown? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the master of the future. He's in charge of our future. And our faith, our trust is where? In Him. Who is what? With us. We wrap up with verse 41 here. Verse 41, it says, they, now get this, is interesting. The record is they feared exceedingly. Said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I thought, now wait a second. Their fear was just question. And now their fear, again, it's mentioned again. But God's word is amazing. Again, we understand that every word of this book is inspired. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. It's amazing. This word for fear is a different word than the word we looked at a moment ago. This is not that word that deals with the idea of being cowardly. No, this is a word to be filled with a fright. You know, something happens and you're filled with a fright. You know, there's sometimes, I mean, if you're standing on the edge of a building, you know, it's okay for the knees to knock a little bit. Maybe take a step back. But get this, stick with me. The disciples, beloved, as they witnessed what took place here. The Lord Jesus Christ rises from a sleep, commands the wind and the waves to stop, to muzzle it. And immediately, calm. And these men are astounded by what they had witnessed. I believe they were gripped. I mean, again, they hadn't been around this man Jesus that much yet. And they're seeing now the power that is in him. And what does it say? What they said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. They were gripped, beloved, by an awe of what had been done before their eyes. And what was it that created this awe in them? This man, Jesus. This man, Jesus. This man that they called their master had commanded the wind and the sea, and it obeyed him. Listen to this. I think there's something that just has to come together here. Listen, please get this. When you and I are awestruck by our awesome God, our fears of things, even the fear of change that comes into our lives, are struck down. When we're all struck with God, our fears of the things in this world will be struck down. Because we serve the living God. We belong to Him. Those fears are replaced with what? Peace. A calm. Tranquility. That peace, that tranquility is a result of faith. A result of trust. What do you question about them? How is it that you have no faith? I think they were beginning to understand just who this one was and what he was capable of. Do you have the peace of God? Do you have peace in Christ? Now, if you're a Christian, remember who he is. Remember who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. God the Son. He is that one that spoke this universe into existence with a word. He spoke and it came into existence. You say, do you really believe that, preacher? Yes, I do, because I believe what this book says. I don't care what Dr. Hoot and Toot says. I believe what God says. Who do you think's more reliable? Huh? Absolutely. Remember who Jesus is. You can trust him. You can rest in him. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please, please understand as we look at these verses today, Jesus cares. He cares about you. Cares about where you'll spend eternity. The Bible says that he's long-suffering with us. His desire is that all would come to repentance, that none would perish. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? When you come to him in repentance and faith, he receives you. It says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call upon him, he receives you. And he forgives you of your sin. He forgives you of all that unbelief. Cleanses you. Gives you eternal life. A place with himself in glory for all of eternity. The peace of God. Let's stand together, beloved. Thank you for your patience. Father, we love you. We thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what he's accomplished. Thank you that he is the commander of our ship. Thank you that he abides with us. His thank you that he promises to never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that he promises to save those who will come to him by faith. And Lord, I don't know. I don't know that there may be one here today that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whether it be a man, a woman, a young person in our midst today, please, Lord, I'm asking you, we've done our best to lift up Jesus. I'm asking you, dear Lord, to make yourself real to one in need today. Oh God, please communicate to their heart that you love them, you care about them, and that you died to pay the price, the wages of their sin. Oh God, please. Do beautiful, amazing things in lives today. I pray for every Christian in this room. Lord, you know I pray for our church in these days. We're in the midst of change. I'm thankful you're in charge. Thankful that you're the captain of our ship. And that you're present all the way. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 118.
Beloved, as we sing, please, please do what God might be saying to your heart right now. As Mary said to those servants there in the presence of Jesus at the wedding in Cana, she simply said, whatsoever he saith unto you do it. Is the Lord speaking to your heart today? Whatever he's saying to you, do it. obey Him. Do what He would say to you. Amen. Do you need to be saved? We're here for you. You come here at this time of invitation. These altars are open, of course, and you come and we'll do our best to tell you, show you what Jesus Christ did for you. Amen. Believers, lead the way. As we sing, please.
I'm easy every hand, most gracious Lord, yes, no tender voice like mine can be so pure. I'm lifted on me free, every hour I need thee,
to thank you. You've got Jesus in your ship. Amen. 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 Can't be safer. No matter the storm, can't be safer than with Jesus in your ship.
Right.
Amen. Brother John, would you come?
Calvary. Sing with me. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary.